welcome to... I've got Chad Kilgore with me right now. I'm gonna edit that little chunk right there. I'm gonna overdub whatever we end up calling it.
You caught me off guard. I was like, what? Okay, yeah.
It's Remy here, and we've got Chad Kilgore over here in his home, far away, communicating through the Zoom internets. So this is sort of our little intro to this podcast series that we're going to be starting up. We're going to start up with just some audio to begin with until I think either of us get proficient in being able to maybe put together some video stuff. But for right now, we're going to do some classic podcasting with no video. To kind of kick it all off, I guess we're gonna kind of give a little breakdown of what we project to sort of accomplish with this. I think that some of the main areas of focus we'll kind of touch on a little bit, just to say, you know, just to give everyone a little hint of what we're really trying to highlight when it comes to, you know, the areas of knowledge that need to be paid attention to as far as how everything is transpiring in the grand scheme of the crazy world right now. So, Chad, you want to kind of just give a little breakdown? I think we're going to just give you guys a little short story of sort of how we ended up here, where we ended up, in the place where we've decided to start formalizing and compiling information and what is sort of the motivating factor of our desire to share this information and what information exactly we're trying to communicate.
Yeah, man. Yeah. We've been talking about doing this for a few months and we're finally kind of getting our shit together. And, both you and I kind of come from, a similar understanding of principles and foundational things that people need to know in order to discern truth, and also, which is kind of synonymous with, you know, seeing through the lies of our culture and being able to come to logical conclusions. And frankly, man, there's some good stuff out there, but I don't feel like there's enough quantity out there of good information. And so I just felt it was important for us to get together, especially with you and I having like similar views on major things. I just thought it was important that we get together and formalize this information and get it sent out there to as many people as possible. And so my journey to coming into all of this was kind of a slow one. Basically, it took basically this pandemic situation to seriously wake me up to what was going on. You know, like I may have had a sense that shit wasn't right, and I didn't, you know, I was always kind of had countercultural views in the past, but this was what really made me come to the realization that we're living in a fabricated matrix reality. And so my background was just basically football my entire life was what my life was centered around. You know, I played college, I played a little bit after college, and you know, that's what consumed my life. And that was I put all my energy and motivation into that. And then, you know, now I do artwork full time and I'm able to kind of hone my mind in a way with good information. And I've just by chance, I can't even remember who shared it, but I came across like Mark Passio's work, and that has been foundational for me to understand, you know, first principles and natural law and these things, of how our reality actually works and why it's important and why we need to live by that and have that as a foundation. Otherwise, you know, we get what we have today, which is total chaos. And that's why another reason why I think it's so huge for us to get this information, get it organized, and send it back out. Because I feel, Remy, you have the gift of being able to take something that's extremely complex and break it down for somebody in a way that's palatable for them to take in. So I've always enjoyed talking to you, and that's why I think it's awesome that we've been able to connect and get this shit out to people. So I'm excited to, I'm pumped to do it, man. So
yeah. Yeah, man. I think, yeah. The difference of, I think it's really important to kind of notice that, like, it's like how different our beginnings were. Yeah. To where we ended up kind of like meeting and, you know, through the internet and recognizing like the importance of the fundamentals that are to be addressed as far as like what is actually a solution to what's going on. And, as far as, I mean, I told my whole story on Lisa's podcast and, you know, that was a very detailed thing, but I've sort of been figuring out the game that's being played for quite some time now.
Well, hold on. I got to interject. So Remy is basically on the Matrix. Who's the guy that's like driving the ship and he's like, everybody gets unplugged and he's been there the whole time, you know?
He's like, oh, he's
I've been
he's
waiting
like,
for you guys since 2012 or something.
Yeah, the, yeah. He's like yeah. born. He was like born in Zion. He was
Anyways, sorry.
Yeah, no, it's cool. Yeah, I've been in it for a while, kind of figuring out piecing it together. So, I think it was like you know. Last year of middle school, eighth grade for me that I started to kind of say, hey, there's something going on here and sort of, you know, decoding a lot of the symbolic language and getting into the, you know, the spiritual aspects of how people are, you know, manipulating events. And then I got into the economic and all that stuff. So it was an interesting thing because it's like, I recognized sort of big picture, hey, something weird's going on here. And then I started piecing it together little by little by little by little by little. And then, you know, going from one field of study to the next. And then finally I talked with Lisa and Ralph yesterday on her podcast and I brought up, I was like, health was kind of like the last thing for me. It was the recognizing the realm of medical, the medical takeover was, I knew that it was there. But it was like the last thing for me and it's the most recent, but, it definitely was already under my radar. Like I had already seen a bit of it before, but, I think the thing that really kind of kicked me into high gear and getting ready to even just start acknowledging this stuff publicly was also finding, largely Michael Tsarion's work, which then led me to Mark Passio. And then it sort of reintroduced me to David Icke stuff because like I had like heard of David Icke, but I was kind of just like, oh, that guy's crazy. And then I like finally actually gave it some time and I was like, oh wow, there's actually a lot going on here.
Yeah.
So like all of the stuff that I research, especially going through, I went through different, you know, religious traditions. I was in a Christian family and then I kind of researched all of that. And I found out, I'm like, well, this isn't quite what I thought it was. Maybe Judaism. And I lived in an Orthodox Jewish community and I learned Hebrew. I was like fully, completely, like I was in there, you know, I was really trying to complete that conversion. And then it fell apart and then I would, you know, get into another religious tradition. And then I realized at a certain point, I'm like, why am I looking for a group to mm-hmm. like identify with?
So what makes me think
that? Yeah. And that was a huge thing for me. And that was around 2016 yes. when 2015 or so actually was when I really came to terms with like, I was like, why am I trying to find a group? And why do I think that one book is going to have all the answers? Mm-hmm. Like, I kept looking for the book with the answers, you know? And that was what sort of led me to understand, wait a second, there's that archetype of the one book that has all the answers, I think is something that we search for. And it's like an actual principle within existence that we're trying to fulfill by actually putting a book in the place of that. And I think that book is the book of, of the actual laws of the universe, the actual fundamental spiritual principles that actually they unfold into the physical laws of the observable, you know, empirical universe as well. So there's no separation in my estimation between those things. And I think really big picture, that's what we're trying to accomplish here. We're trying to say, well, what are these underlying fundamental laws of existence? How are they universal, and how do they not just play into the spiritual realm, but how is that actually a fully integrated singular experience? And how can we understand the details of how to implement that correctly within our lives, and understand how when that is implemented, we get a good positive result. So
yeah. And I think it's super important that, because a lot of people that are putting out this information are putting out effects, you know, the observable effects that we see, and very few of them are getting down to the causal root factor of why those effects are surfacing. Because, you know, this whole COVID scam and everything, most of the shit in our culture is just a symptom of an underlying disease that humanity is at. Mm-hmm. And we want to address, you know, we'll also hit the symptoms, so it can be kind of a holistic approach, but we mainly want to address the causal factors as to why we're here in the first place and what can be done about it to get out of the situation. And so humanity doesn't suffer like this in the future.
Right. Yeah. And that's a big focal point. Looking at, the causal factor, which is, you know, the idea of principles is just means first, that which is grasped first, right? So principle being that which you are able to grasp first is the underlying functional mechanisms of any dynamic that occurs within any human interaction. So I think like what you're kind of pointing out is like, okay, right now there might be a debate over like the, you know, the mandates, for example, right? And the mandates, yeah. And then trying to discern between, okay, well, some people are like, oh, well, not all of these, this form of medical intervention are bad, just this one. And then, oh, well, then the comparison of what causes illness in the first place, like getting to the bottom of that. A lot of these things are, I would never say that any form of information or knowledge is unimportant. All forms of information are important, and getting to a distilled, legitimate understanding of everything that you possibly can is incredibly important. But that being said, if you're only focusing on all these different secondary factors and you're not actually identifying what at the root and at the actual foundation of those factors is what causes the divergence from harmony, or the wrongness of it, then you're not really going to be able to end that perpetual cycle of negative manifestation. So we can argue about the medical system or what causes people to get ill, but it's like really what we're trying to understand is when someone's implementing a system of control and a system of, which is what this is largely all about, is about humankind being subjected to a slavery control system. Now, if you're able to identify that basic fundamental concept, and it's so simple what we're doing here, we're really trying to recognize the simplicity behind the various details that become complex and muddied and just completely like convoluted. So if you're able to recognize a simple basic truth of, you know, logical and moral consistent foundation, then you're able to identify when a specific action that's based off of a new detail is either legitimate or illegitimate. So it might change details. It may be medical right now, and it may be what, climate next, or it may be, you know, racial at a certain point in time, it was largely racial based, right? Or ethnically mm-hmm. based. And then maybe it will be religious based in another situation. And people tend to get wrapped up in the details, and then they're forgetting that the things that vary oftentimes are the details, but not the principle. So it'll vary in degree, but it won't actually vary in fundamental claim. So I think that, you know, big bullet point there is identifying causal factors and what actually dealing with things as they're caused instead of how they show up after and become the, you know, the realm of effect.
Yeah, man, totally agree. And that's going to be a huge one for us, is that we want to identify the problem instead of just the symptoms of it. So we also want to offer, you know, moving forward, we want to offer solutions for people. And that is also comes through understanding, you know, natural laws, you know, which are the spiritual laws that govern the consequences of human behavior. But, you know, we also want to bring people in on the show that are, you know, more knowledgeable in different areas than we are, you know, whether it's like growing food or just different ways to get off of the current slavery system that we're in right now, you know, and just offer practical solutions rather than just focusing on, you know, this week's latest article that's got everyone up in arms and divided, you know, over and over again. You know what I mean? Right. Because that gets us nowhere. Whenever we're just bringing up, you know, whatever current psychological operation is going on, and we talk about that for weeks on end, we're just running in place. And really, that's exactly what the control class wants. They want us bickering back and forth, talking about nonsense and not really making any headway in terms of morality or human freedom.
Right. So. And I think a detrimental effect of falling to the minutia of this thing and that thing and this thing and that thing is that you end up identifying with each little subset of issues. Whereas if you're able to recognize the impersonal, the very basic, fundamental, immutable, continuous dynamic laws, then you're able, that really offers you a freedom of being able to look at a lot more possibilities with actual freedom, because then you're able to say, okay, well, what about the medical, you know, the medical sphere? Then we can kind of break down the understanding of how these things might play out based off of this theory. And then if you're understanding that the fundamental laws that we're talking about, natural law, cosmic law, spiritual law, moral law, karmic law, consequentialism, this idea, if you're basing it off of that, which is really just a distilled version of the human behavior aspect, but also of all the physical laws, they coincide. Then you're actually, if you're able to recognize that, because by recognizing the human interactions that relate to those principles and fundamentals, you're actually able to internalize those principles and fundamentals in a way that's a true gnosis, and it's graspable. It's a real, it's a palpable knowledge that you're able to attain.
Direct.
And then
experience,
once you're able to, through that experience of understanding, observing these effects and how they play in human in interactions within your own and others on a mass scale and in a singular scale. But by recognizing these things as inherent, you're actually able to more effectively assess and analyze the subsequent fields of knowledge that are on different scales within the known universe. And when you're able to see the coherence of the universe, as really the coherence of the universe is a representation of the law that underlies all things. And law is just a term that means it lies under, right? So not to get trapped up in these connotations, but when you recognize that thread that holds things together, then you're able to identify that. And that's what truth is. Truth is just the thread that holds things together. And law, truth, morality, rights, those are all the same thing. Those are all synonyms for the basic, you know, it's sort of the actual essence of what is behind the veil of the observed universe. It's beyond what our eyes are seeing. It's sort of the hidden aspect of it, right? So by recognizing these fundamentals and principles, it will offer you a greater freedom and a greater clarity in assessing the rest of the stuff that actually people are more caught up on, but would have a little bit, I think, more of a I would say a smoother time trying to process if they kind of went, break it down to the basics, go back to kindergarten first, you know?
Exactly. You know, I mean, we want to think that just because somebody has alphabet soup after their name, that means they've got all their shit together. But really, a lot of these people that are, you know, authorities, quote unquote, don't even know the basic fundamentals of how our reality works. You know, they're experts in the fake system that they've set up for us, but they're not experts by any stretch of the imagination in the reality that we live in that is, you know, made by our creator. You know what right. I mean? We're so far down this road of materialism that we can't even we're having a hard time comprehending that the creator would have also made spiritual realities as well. You know, and so we veered way off course down the road of materialism, and everything has to be 5 cents touched by, you know, seen, heard, felt, or whatever, that we can't fathom there being laws that we can't see or touch.
Right. And it's kind of like that it's a weird dichotomy. It's really like an internal contradiction that the people who believe everything has to be proven and is empirical and everything is particles and everything is physical, that for some reason everything in this physical world can be objectively described except actions, which actions or behaviors which actually have an obvious real world 3D, you know, physical material world effect. Like there's an actual effect there. So why is it that's the one thing that doesn't have the requirement to be scrutinized in the same way as the rest of the material world? And I think mm-hmm. it's something interesting to know is so with when you mentioned like scientists and the experts and, you know, air quotes experts, a lot of times they are experts of certain, you know, certain compartments of information. So they might have a really, really good understanding of like, what are they, you know, like how proteins are synthesized, or they have a really, mm-hmm. really good understanding of how electrical systems work. But because of, I think, this underlying perspective that everything is a particle bumping against other particles and causing particles to do other things that particles hit the other particles to, you know what I mean? This ongoing yeah. particles bumping into particles thing. Their worldview sort of reflects that. So they're able to take a subject and then study it as a particle and not really look at how it works together with the rest of everything else. And that goes into yeah. that goes into that whole issue of being able to recognize like sort of how you say the laws that you don't see with your eyes or with measuring instruments, right? It's like these are discernible, but you can't just say, oh, well, here's a list of all the, you know, you can't quantify it with a perfect list in like a certain amount of mm-hmm. materials. And that's a problem that scientists have with behavior as much as they have, some scientists, I'm not, you know, not all, but, a lot of the modern day materialist scientists have just as much an issue of understanding and integrating a recognition of behavioral cause and effect, which is called morality, which is like a dirty word to most people. morality meaning just to a proper measure to act in proper measure. They're unable to view even things like energetic transfer or resonance, or I mean, some of them are, but it becomes kind of like a difficult thing to do because of this kind of long-standing like trap of the physical materialism, you know.
Conditioning. But,
yeah
man.
So which also I think kind of leads us to another one of the goals that I think that we're trying to lay forth is that the importance the importance of knowledge and truth and really understanding what those are, right? Knowledge and this is like the debate of the more modern postmodern philosophers is, can knowledge actually even be attained? Can you ever know anything? And that's really a big divergence because there's a school of thought that's like, you can never know anything fully. And it's like, well, you can never know everything, but does that mean that you cannot have a legitimate gnosis of specific, you know, information or specific details of information? And so this, the goal of recognizing where the stance that I would say I could probably speak not for, but Chad will agree that the stance that we're taking is that knowledge isn't, it's a very simple stance. Knowledge is in fact able to be acquired to the extent that you can use that knowledge effectively. And that it's a combination of both objective and subjective information, and that truth being simply that which is. It means it's the thread that connects things. It's the constant beneath the world of waves. You know, the way that things waver and change, there's always a constant that testifies to the I wouldn't even say even objective or subjective, but transcendent, the all transcendent truth. And I think that recognizing that, not as like knowing the mind of God and knowing all things and knowing all of the cosmic intricacies, it just means that you're able to discern that which is from that which is not, mm-hmm. largely by recognizing that which is not true.
Yeah. Yeah. And in layman's terms, it's just recognizing the things that are happening around you in the present, the reality that is actually happening, the underlying truth, and the things that have happened in the past, you know, and those things are objectively true. There is an objective truth to what has happened in the past, and there's an objective truth to what is happening right now. And we're saying, yes, that can be known and can be integrated into your worldview. And then as morality and as alignment with truth increases, morality increases, and so freedom increases.
Oh, I lost my train of thought because you said something about the law of freedom, I guess. But
well, Remy, it's a small train. Let me take it from there for you. So ultimately, we want people to be able to use this knowledge and be responsible for themselves, be responsible for their knowing and their doing, and just understand that if you can take right actions and take right and right behaviors, we will be a more free society. And this is ultimately what's going to underlie this podcast, is that we have to get back to basics of truth and morality, and that's what's going to underlie all of our actions. And, you know, it doesn't mean that everybody has to agree on everything we say and that everybody has to agree. It just means we need to be able to understand the absolute basics of how our reality works. And then everybody else can branch off and go from there.
And then make art with it. And that's, I think that's what like the structure of art is, right? Like literally like make art with it in all the different ways of life. Because once you have the basics, you have the basic palette to work with, and you recognize the difference between the basics of that palette, then you're able to mix and match and make something, then Absolutely. You can make something creative out of it. But you have to start with that basic, the basic building blocks, which a lot of that is what humanity has surpassed. So this is what I was actually going to say. I remember I regained my train of thought. The concept of the importance of knowledge and acting and actually enacting the knowledge that you've acquired, the importance of that is huge, but it's really not like this huge epistemological issue that you have to like rack your brains over. It's as simple as, it's as simple as this. If you know that there's a specific liquid substance, for example, that causes, you know, a certain poisonous response within the body, it's as simple as knowledge and the ability to get desirable results is as simply as the more that you understand all the little things that you're encountering, the better that you're going to be able to create desirable results. So it's like, if you know that this specific chemical causes a poisonous response within the body and it causes you to become ill, then you're not going to drink that. You know, if there's a cliff, you're not going to walk off the edge of it, because you know that if you do that, there's going to be the pressure mediation of gravity, and then you're going to fall to the bottom until that pressure is mediated, and then you will likely be either seriously harmed or have your life force ejected from your physical body, right? So this idea of knowing something in order to get a certain result, that's the basis of science, right? That's the basis of the modern sciences, is being able to come to an actual understanding of the cause and effect nature of what you're doing. And so this is, in fact, it is a science. This is a science of human behavior and how human behavior relates to the end byproduct of the behaviors of humanity and how it relates to the experience, the quality of the experience. So in other words, what kind of freedom we experience, right? So freedom meaning not being controlled to the extent that you're being harmed, right? Because there's always controls in certain sense, and that's what the universe is doing. It's understanding the boundaries of that control and the boundaries of that force, and then the boundaries of your own force and how much you're able to apply that to others, to yourself, right? So it's very simple at the basis of it. It's learning how to do things that don't hurt you and other people, and yeah. Like. Now I went into Chad mode there. Throw it, make it real, real, real simple to understand. It's a gift, I'm a simpleton. By the way. It's like,
no, yeah, man. And as you were going there, it just made me think of, you know, people are probably, because when I talk to people that are outside of, you know, you and I discussing things that are just not, quote unquote woke, even though I hate that term, awake, you know, they almost have this like, why would I even, you know, that's too much work to try and dig through everything to find truth. You know what I mean? And it's like, and that's just a result of us not valuing truth enough in our, you know, on the individual level, because I think people don't understand why it's important. And that's one thing that's going to be huge, I think, for us to convey to people, is why it's important for us on an individual level as well as a collective level.
Absolutely. Yeah, because I think that the I would say the virtue of truth and truthfulness is the virtue of recognizing the simple understanding that the things that you do are going to have an effect, you know, like it's going to have an effect when you perceive things out of, you know, out of phase with how they're actually occurring. And there's a million, yeah,
absolutely
endless different ways in which at any given moment you may be out of phase with the way that things actually are. But that's what's the importance of constantly seeking and acquiring and then recirculating that process of information distillation and getting to the most pure end product with the information that you're taking in. And that goes for everything, right? So it's like, I get what you mean. I think that some people hear it and they're like, oh my gosh, that sounds like exhausting. It's like,
exactly. Yeah.
It's not. I mean, it does take willpower, but it's a kind of willpower that actually, like, I think, like self regulates, and like the more life force that you put into recognizing the truth, you get back. It's reciprocated.
And it's like, because, a muscle, dude.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
The more you do it, the easier it gets.
Yeah, because as you put more willpower into that process, then you're losing dead weight. What you're doing is you're getting rid of, you know, ideas, concepts, and beliefs, and even in some senses, well, that actually becomes a physical thing. And I don't mean necessarily you're just like losing weight. Like, that's not, you know, I don't want to make that, that's not the metaphor I'm getting at. But you remove unnecessary baggage from your mind, from your actions, from everything. And that's really what sanity is, right? Sanity is to be sane, is like to sanitize, right? So it's to clean. You're cleaning up the junk in your mind, you know? It's like, get rid of the unnecessary components. Yeah. And those unnecessary components are essentially just they're ghosts of concepts that are really not actually, that they don't really even exist. And so the more that you're getting rid of these false perceptions, you're creating more space for free flowing, you know, thought and energy. And that's, it can sound exhausting, but that's not to say that it's easy and it shouldn't be easy. It's hard won to end up at a place where you have a firm understanding of anything. And I mean, having a firm understanding of your behaviors and how you act and how that interacts with other people, that's about as you know, central to practicality as you can get.
Yeah. And, you know, riffing off your talking about perception, a person's perceptions don't necessarily mean that's what's happening in the world. You know, mm-hmm. It's not like your perception is always reality. It's just because you perceive something to be one way does not mean that is the objective truth of the matter of what's going on. But today, this kind of is a big deal because people's beliefs are affecting other people, you know, because we're in this mass mind control psychological operation. Everybody is being affected by it because, like I said, people's beliefs in a false reality is dragging us way off course of the frequency of truth. Mm-hmm. And so we're getting what we're putting in. We're putting in more garbage and we're getting out more garbage. And it just happens to be at an even more rapid pace now because things are so far escalated and we're so far off the path.
Right. Yeah. It's mayhem is being created essentially. Mm-hmm. Mayhem, chaos, disorder. These are the things that happen when you act in a way you're acting with a specific dissonance towards the way that the actual mechanisms of the live, you know, the existent universe are functioning. So I think that's an important thing to note too, because this concept that perception is reality, it's like perception will lead to an action, which will then interact with the actual fundamental dynamics of nature, the universe, the cosmos, whatever you want to call it, right? Well, so your actions will interact with those actual fundamental dynamics, and then the reality will be created based off of the synthesis of those two, your perceptions and then the actual, you know, components of the real universe. And so that synthesis will create the reality, and the quality of the reality is an actual, you can see that there's something like an equation to this. So the quality of the reality is a sort of an average of your accuracy in regards to your information and then how that matches up to the actual fundamental dynamics of the universe. And so the reality will then reflect that with direct proportions one way or the other, sort of like a positive or negatively charged, you know, molecule or something. It's like, you're going to see that average that plays out, that reality that your perception helped to create will represent a specific proportion between your perception and what actually is. And then you got to start over again and do that process over until you get a more desired result.
Dude, very well put. Bravo. I'm clapping in my head here. That was that was very well said, man. And that's essentially the trivium process you just broke down in a very eloquent way, you know, garbage in, garbage out, you know, mm-hmm. kind of thing. And we get exactly what we're giving into the world. And right. we're seeing that. And whether you want to look at it or not, whether you want to look in the mirror and say, am I participating in this or not? We are getting exactly what we're putting in. And that starts at the individual level. And that Absolutely. Was the hardest. One of the hardest things for me is that, you know, it's just like, I'm just one person. Well, if you understand that you are a big fucking deal, you know, and that you're not just another person, and that you making the right moves and consciousness and morality sets you know, at micro and macro, as above, so below, it does your part of the as above, so below, and, you know, we'll be one step closer to the end result that we want.
Yeah. I do think that individual level of implementation of, once you do recognize the importance of these principles and you decide to actually act them out, I think you do see an individual in your own life. You're going to see that dynamic play out maybe in a way in your own life that it isn't in the grand scheme of things. So I think that this creates a discrepancy with people. They're like, oh, well, you know, if I'm living in a way that's harmonious, then I will get that life for myself. And which is true, I think, but you also have to, you know, calculate into that like that also is bleeding into the world around you. So that's how you help affect a positive change is by living that within your life. Now, sometimes what ends up happening though is that people see their lives looking nice from the inside because they are a lot of times, you know, sometimes people who just by default who are curious and who are of good intention, sometimes they end up living according to these natural laws just by instinct, you know. The more you understand it, the better, but a lot of times they are living by these things by instinct. And it's sort of like, it's almost like it's like, of course, if you're drawn towards that, there's going to be a certain level of overlap with that. So a lot of times people will then say, well, my life doesn't look bad. Like I'm not really in that matrix. So my life is good. But that sort of creates this concept or this idea, this false idea that you are separate from the rest of it. So I think that there's really a fine line there. And that's always the fine line of understanding what the individual is in the first place. So it's like individual action is what is exactly what you need to do in order to actually see any type of legitimate, you know, change occur, because that's the only power that you have to change is your individual self. And so that, I think it's important to recognize that you are trying to create a world for yourself in your own life that is harmonious and does reflect the beauty that is this, that is reality. Reality is, the universe is a beautiful thing. The cosmos, which cosmos is literally means beauty, right? So it's like, there's a beautiful aspect of that, but you don't want to get caught up in this, like, well, because my life's fine, well, I don't really care about what's going on out there. And like perception is reality. It's like, well, it's important then that you recognize, you know, what that role is in you creating a life that is harmonious to that. And then don't make the mistake, I think, of thinking that that's just a random thing. Once you've recognized, well, I live a certain way, why is it that my life is this way and then other people's are that way? And then that comes down to like doing, you know, applying the process of then understanding there are actual identifiable principles and dynamics that are happening to make your life be more harmonious.
Yeah.
So I think that it's important. So I guess, and like to summarize that whole thought, it's important to recognize that creating a good life for yourself is not the ultimate goal of recognizing these natural laws, these universal laws. This is not the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is not to create a life that you're comfortable living and that you feel good living. That's just a potential byproduct of it. In fact, you may actually not live a very comfortable life when you're doing the right thing. But that's not really what it's ultimately about, because this is a cosmic law, which means that it applies to the cosmos, which means that it is it will be seen, represented as the sum total average of what is being applied and being implemented. And that fluctuation is on a large scale. So you may not see it happen directly in your, you know, in your life 2-3 months after you make a change. What it is though, and that's why it is a science. It is an observable science. It's not about just, oh, well, I didn't feel this way after I did it. Well, it's not what it's about. It's about recognizing these things and actually putting them through the ringer of the method of observation and realizing, you know, this is how this individual approach is what you actually can even plausibly and feasibly apply. You cannot do something for another person at any level. Yep. At any level. It's the fundamental importance of recognizing self-ownership, that is a direct implication of recognizing these interplays.
Yeah, ultimately everybody walks that path alone and no one can do it for them. And yeah, that was a tough one for me, because I'm just like, oh, if everybody would just do this, then we'll, you know what I mean? I just felt like egotistically, you know, a few years ago, I had a, you know, if everybody would just, you know, pop mushrooms or something, everything yeah. will be fine, you know, but it's such a naive thing to think that you can influence somebody else's life like that. I mean, we're putting out information, and yes, I think this can have a positive impact on people and possibly help people, but ultimately they have to want to seek the information. They have to have that inner impulse to want to get to be a better human and evolve and grow and not stagnate and remain, you know, and remain 20 years old, but, you know, like that saying goes, but be buried when you're 80.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's that general idea is like, you know, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. So it's like when mm-hmm. the student's ready, the lessons, the information, it needs to be there.
Yeah.
But you can't implement it for someone else. And I think that this is important. Another thing that's important to note, because when we say we're offering practical solutions, that's what we hope to do, is offer solutions. What we're not going to offer is a system that people can, you know, ostensibly apply and enforce upon other people so that this understanding becomes a requirement to live in society. That's not how it's ever going to work. That's like this, I think that's a very important distinction to make when we say practical. Practical doesn't necessarily mean that there's going to be a program, a 10-step program that yeah. is going to tell you when you do this and you're going to do this and then that's it. And now you go do it and make other people do it too. That's not, I think this is a big lesson that, you know, the creative intelligence has been trying to teach us repeatedly. It's not about, there's no way to recognize the intricate but simple principles and laws of the universe and then create a system that is geared to enforce that upon people so that they either have to understand these, even if they're 100% the correct laws. And I don't mean man-made law system. I mean, if they are the actual legitimate moral dynamics of society, there's no way that you could ever effectively say, and nor do I plan on saying, well, here's the system that you need to implement in order to make people live morally. You can't make yeah. people live morally. That's the thing. And the more that you're worried about other people living morally, and that's not to say don't recognize when people are living immorally, or don't acknowledge when people are living in a way that is fundamentally based in wrong action. It's not to say don't care about it, don't acknowledge it, and don't analyze it. But what it is to say is don't put all of your energy into trying to create a system, a program that will make people do the right thing, because you can't. You have to learn how to do the right thing yourself. And if you're trying to make people do things, then you're not doing the right thing, because then you're trying to implement a form of coercion, mm-hmm. persuasion under the guise that of morality. But what it really is that you're offering essentially some form of threat that there will be a punishment if you don't act in a way that you consider or that is even legitimately moral. So as far as solutions go, the solutions that are going to be very much so, how can you decide to take this and put this into action, into practice in your own life?
Yeah. Unfortunately, life is not as easy as signing up for a class on the internet, you know, or, you know, people that are even on the path of truth want to take, I think because of our culture and how we're brought up in the school systems, we want to find the easy path that's a you know, a 2-week class and then I'm enlightened, or you know what I mean? Or a 2-week class and now I know how to operate within law. Like, you know what I mean? And this is just, to me, it's an off-road of the path of truth. And truth is, it's not easy, man. It's never going to be that easy. And like you said, you can't force people to be moral. That has to be something that comes from within the individual. And ultimately, that's what we hope to participate in, is helping raise consciousness and thereby raising morality at the same time.
Right. And first of all, you have to raise the awareness that this is actually a system of knowledge that exists, right? That's like, and there are very few people who are actually delving into this topic and focusing on it and really making it known. There's a handful of people that, you know, that are really doing a good amount of work with it. So,
yeah, I mean, there's 7 billion people on this planet, according to, you know, whatever the latest count, and we have probably under, I don't know, there's probably not more than a few hundred. Mm-hmm. That might even be extremely high.
Yeah,
a few hundred people teaching this effectively and in a way that people are inspired to change their belief system into something that aligns more with truth.
Right. And it's like, you can't make people do it, but what you can do is take it upon yourself to understand it to the extent that you are able to teach it in a way that's effective, in a way that other people can't. Because yeah, everyone is going to have their own flavor, their own, you know, their own voice. They're going to have their own line of logic as to how they got to that conclusion. But I think what's the deterrent for people is that it just seems like, we're talking about right and wrong. Oh, I learned that in kindergarten, whatever. And it's like, well, we clearly didn't, because otherwise we wouldn't be living in a global, you know, a global dystopian, you know, prison hell. So it's like,
yeah,
if that were the case, if everyone just knew that and actually was living according to what they say that they know, then we wouldn't be here. So, yeah, we got to learn it and then teach it, because it's like, it's not as obvious as people think it is. And a lot of times people say, oh yeah, I know all that stuff. I know. Yeah, I'm familiar with that. And then they'll go and then propose systems and solutions that are 100% antithetical to the basic concepts of natural law.
Yeah. Or even what they say that they believe.
Or what they even, yeah, you know? Right. They'll say yeah, that they want freedom and that they want a nice free life. And then it will completely be antithetical to that, because they may not even really be in a full awareness of the perception or concept of these, you know, universal laws. Right. Yeah. But it's just even flies in the face of their own declared purpose or goal.
Well, I can just hear it right now. Well, that you can't do that in the real world. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, people will say one thing and then do another because, well, that, you know, that doesn't just happen. And that's not reality. That's fantasy land living, you know. Remy and I are fully aware that this is probably the hardest undertaking known to man, to try and get the morality of the entire population of humans lifted higher, so we don't live in a prison state. Mm-hmm. But it, to me, to my knowledge, it's the only work to do.
It is.
You know, there's no other option. There's no fucking easy button for this. Mm-hmm. You know, and trying to slap a Band-Aid on an already gushing wound is just not going to do it. So to me, this is what has to be done, as daunting a task as it is.
Yeah. I think that's a big highlight. It's the solution. Like, it, you know, and I hear people say this all the time, and it's like, well, really the solution has to be specific, because if there is no solution, if there is a solution, then there has to be a specific solution to it. Right. And this is absolutely this is the most important work to be done. I know a lot of people will say the biggest and most important thing to do is to like break the perspective of germ theory, break the perspective of the false belief in germs.
I think the health aspect, like you were saying, this is the last piece of the puzzle for you. But it's not the puzzle, you know, mm-hmm. It's another symptom, I think, of the underlying cause. Sorry, I interrupted you. Go ahead.
No, it's cool. No, it's good that you said that, because that kind of redirected me. That idea that like, oh, well, this is the most important thing. We can get rid of the idea of let's say, you know, over a few weeks, what suddenly everyone somehow comes to the conclusion, the conclusion that, hey, you know, maybe these scientific and medical models are actually based in a really, really wealthy family's, infiltration of the medical educational system. And then they implemented basically a kind of like a cult-like religion that's sort of just like a reinterpretation of demonology. Yeah, they come to the understanding of that. And then they're like, oh, well, yeah, no, actually, that's not how illness occurs. All right, cool. Let's carry on our day. And oh, okay. Well, hey, you know what we should do, since we now know what that germ theory is false? We should actually vote in somebody into power that actually understands that, and then they'll restructure the medical model, and then also we'll make it illegal to see. And then what happens then? Mm-hmm. Then you have the same problem. And some people might hear that and be like, oh, well, that doesn't sound like a bad idea. Well, then that's when you have to start assessing the concepts of control, government and voting, and even the idea of having punitive structures in place whatsoever, and assessing it based off of its moral and logical legitimacy in the first place. And that's where it's like, okay, well then we're starting to get closer to the root there. So it's like, if, okay, cool. That's a scenario that shows that even if we got rid of germ theory, then if we didn't get rid of the fundamental belief and authority, and this belief that people can own other people, i.e. some people can be punished for doing acts that other people decree as being immoral, even if the act is or is not immoral, and actually causes harm.
Yeah.
So there's an example of that. There's a whole bunch of other examples. Oh, if people just understand the monetary system is based off of this fiat currency, and we had a better monetary system that had silver backing it and gold instead of just like a made up, like, you know, printed out of thin air situation, we could get rid of that. And you still have the same fundamental problem. You still think that some people can own other people or can control mm-hmm. other people. So getting down to these basics is absolutely fundamental, and it is critical, and especially right now when we're at the late stages of human error slavery systems. This is what happens sequentially or cyclically with humans, apparently, where we ignore the basic, very simple fundamental that you can't own other people, don't harm people, and don't steal shit. Yep. And then we make really, really complicated systems and convoluted philosophies and very intricate, detailed, you know, codes and make these really, really long, you know, explanations of, it becomes almost mythological. And then we get away from, because it's this really long equation that's based off of a fundamentally incorrect claim in the very beginning, you know. And I've used the example before that if you have an incorrect understanding of quantity, and you try to go through an equation, and you think that the number 2 and 3 are the equal to the same thing, but they're just different symbols for it, then you're going to end up with if you do a really long form equation, you're going to end up with an incredibly wrong answer. The mm-hmm. bigger that you make
it, the bigger compound effect. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
well, and you had described this before, Remy, that we have a very simple underlying truth, but now we have all these systems in place, you know, like allopathic medicine and all that, under that are built upon a lie, which is the germ theory. And but since we have all these very professional looking systems and all these people in their suits and PhDs and all that, now it's supposed to have some kind of validity just because it's complex and fancy, when really the foundation is built on sand, you know? Like, it doesn't, just because there's all that shit and fancy nonsense does not mean that the foundation is strong. You know what I mean? Just because they've built this facade, it does not mean that it's legitimate.
Right. Yeah. So the intricacy of the subsequent system is not, it does not testify to the validity of its foundational claim. I think that's like, that's sort of the way that I've tried to explain that idea before. Yeah. The subsequent intricacy of a system does not verify the claim just because it's complicated and it could even be eloquent. It could even be eloquent and elegant. But that does not testify to the legitimacy of the claim. And that's why recognizing this simple fundamental claim of things is so incredibly important.
Yeah.
So you don't get misled by the smoke and mirrors and glitter and sequins and
cool
hats.
Exactly.
And robes.
Yeah. Is there anything else we need to touch on, man?
I mean, I think that overall, for like a little, you know, just the kind of an intro, I think that's pretty much covered it. I did have a conversation with one of my old friends. I put out a video and it was kind of like refuting this concept of forced, injections. And I basically was comparing it to, it's a form of fascism, requiring people to participate in a corporate, product, otherwise be, punished on a societal level. And he's a good friend of mine from a long time ago. One of his idea, his kind of his critique to me was that I didn't offer a solution after critiquing it. I don't know that I don't necessarily disagree with that critique, but I do think it's important to say, to note that we are, I think that there's a certain level we didn't answer maybe a whole lot of questions today. I think that we laid a basic case of what's going to come forth.
Absolutely. Right? That was the whole point of doing this show, just kind of intro of what we're going to be talking about and people kind of get a flavor of how it's going to go from show to show.
Yeah. And so I guess in my mind that came to mind. I was thinking, I'm like, well, I don't want to, I do want it to be clear that there will be more detailed, supporting of these claims that are being made. And also I think it's really important to be able to first, I guess my thought on that, on the not offering a solution, on an initial refutation, I think it's important first to deal with errors. As much as it is important to offer practical solutions, it's of prime and fundamental importance to identify errors and remove the errors before trying to establish a new structure. Because if you haven't identified all the errors that have led you to the current situation, then you can't really start to be rebuilt. It's something that I've mentioned before, but that's something. So for anyone who is listening and who's wondering like, where are the solutions? It's definitely going to come. I don't know that we're probably not going to get into the solutions right away. I think each show we will offer a solution for your, for the daily life. Well, maybe this is a way that you can put this into practice today, but grand scheme, I think that dealing with errors is part of the solution. So that if I don't know if you agree, disagree with that, I think addressing the core fundamental philosophical and ideological errors is actually what I would consider an important solution to begin with.
Well, yeah, I agree. That's very important. And also that's ultimately going to be one of the huge things that it's about. But also, like we said before, we want to have something for people to build back to, you know what I mean? Because we're going down paths that are not in alignment with truth, we want to establish a strong foundation to align ourselves to. And so that's the goal, is to help people have a strong foundation with which to do battle with after that.
Absolutely. So yeah, we're not just going to tear down and then leave it in ruins. It is, yeah, it's not a nihilistic process. You know, I think a useful implementation of the destructive process, because I do think that destroying false perceptions within one's own mind is an incredibly important part of the process. So first getting rid of false beliefs, you know, then I guess the way that you have to do that is first addressing the idea, can you know anything? Is truth attainable? And if you answer the question that it's not, then you're there. I think anybody will have a hard time continuing listening after that first claim is being proposed. So it's, you know, it's going to be, you know, knowledge and truth are attainable. And then it's going to be, I think a good portion of time looking maybe at the fundamental belief systems that are actually, you know, I think we'll lay out like the basic principles, the basic, you know, laws in a very simple format. And then we're going to kind of take those laws and apply them to various systems to show how a lot of modern day systems are incompatible with those. And we will make the logical and moral claim and statement in representing how those systems are incompatible with that. And then sort of breaking down further, I think how society has gotten where it is as a result of these false belief systems. And then it's going to be a process of that. We'll probably go through that over and over again. And, I think we'll keep it fresh. We'll bring some people on and, that at least somewhat, you know, are at least somewhat on board with the concept that there is such a thing as right and there's such a thing as wrong. And then, you know, we'll build on the details from there, and then we'll kind of help to say like how can we start building a world that doesn't look like a slave system, you know? So
absolutely, dude. Yeah. And if you can't get on board with truth and knowledge can be known, and you're not open to at least hearing that it can be, yeah, you're going to want to exit out, hit that X real quick.
You're welcome. Well, you're welcome to stay, but
it's going to be a hard road for you.
Yeah. And I think I'm always willing to, you know, open up conversations for anybody who's listening has any questions in regards to any of this stuff. I think that we'll try to keep that communication line going too, as we progress through formalizing these, you know, recordings and getting this info out. So yeah, man.
Yeah. Good, dude. I think you're solid.
We call it a day for this.
Yeah.
So there's a prologue.
Yeah, I think we can wrap it.
Yep. All right.
Yeah. So, appreciate it. Yeah.
We'll have all this stuff out on whatever, you know, streaming and, you know, listening device, whatever it is people use to listen to podcasts, and we'll get that going pretty soon. If there are any, you know, graphic design or any other artists who might want to help us with logos or whatever like that. I mean, I don't know, maybe Chad can do that himself. Who knows? I don't know. But
unfortunately, no, don't have that skill set.
Anybody's willing to, you know, work with us on that, you can reach out to us as well. We'll maybe try to figure that out. But yeah, all right. There's the prologue, and we'll be back. Probably we're gonna probably do this like every other week. So we'll be back in a couple weeks from when you hear this with really the first episode. So thanks for tuning.
Thank you.
Peace.